Well, John Steger, how come you counted all those limbs? You sure there weren't 59 or 61? No,
there's 61. I found another one. Oh, yeah. Okay, we're ready to start. Thank you, Peg, for the introduction. I should have given you a verse to read. I didn't know you were hiding up there. Come on in. Come on in. Here comes the younger set. They failed at their job. They were supposed to find me more readers, and they couldn't get any off the highway. So. Yeah? Come on in. How's everybody doing today? How many got a drop of rain in the last week? I just hope, you know, all the spring rain makes things grow real good. And then if it dries out in June, July, and August, we have trouble. So I hope we continue to have some rain on and off here throughout the summer. Good to have Mike back. He traveled the country the past few weeks. And I'm sure he's got pictures to show everybody. Okay, my daughter's here today. Amy's here, so you can welcome her and ask her questions. We're studying the last miracle today, the Ascension. She read a whole book on the Ascension on the plane last night. So I'm expecting her to chime in and say, you know, that's not quite right. Oh, if she does, Marilyn, just turn around and slap her. All right, prayer request this morning. Continue to pray for Dieter. As I understand, he continues to make progress little by little by little. So lift him up in prayers. Pray for Chris Jensen, too. You know, he's up there. Stephanie sent a card to him, and it came back, so we're trying to figure out that mystery. Other requests, prayer requests today. Trudy, I guess, is on the road someplace, right? That's why it's quiet this morning. Trudy's not here. Howard. Howard broke. Oh, Howard's in the... Okay, that... Yeah, pray for Richard. Broke his ankle, or foot, or something there. So, Richard Harrelson, yeah. Anybody else? Prayer requests today. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for a beautiful day to come into your house, to look at your word, to study your word, to learn from your word. God, we just thank you that we can gather together in your name. We thank you, Father, for the blessings in our lives. And Lord, we continue to ask for continued blessings. You guide, protect, and encourage us day by day. Pray for our families, Lord, that are scattered around. Your hand will be upon them to guide them, protect them. We pray, Father, for healing for those that we've mentioned here, especially Dieter and others that we know about. Lord, your hand would be on them. Your will would be done in their lives. Give us wisdom and encouragement and speak to us as we open up your word this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, what's Jesus doing today? Celebrating what?
Vets.
Jesus is celebrating vets today. He might be. I don't know. What? You know, what's Jesus? Is he just up there sleeping away or what? He's living in our hearts. The Holy Spirit's living in our hearts. Okay, but the Jesus part of the Trinity. What's he doing today? What's his job? Interceding for us. That's one thing. Good. What's another thing he's doing? He told us what he was going to do. What, you know? He's preparing a place for Marilyn. Okay? It better not be bigger than my place. I'll get jealous. I don't think, you know, there's some discussion, different translations. You know, in the King James says he's going to prepare a mansion for us. And there's other ones that say he's preparing a room for us. I got some friends, they're King James only. Anyway, nothing wrong with that. But she's upset when they say rooms. Whatever he's preparing, we're not going to say, I thought it was going to be better than this, you know. It's whether it's a room, a place, a mansion, whatever, it's we're not going to be disappointed. All right, he's preparing a place. What else is he doing? What else is he doing, Amy? Mediating, he's interceding, he's preparing a place. Preparing to come back. He might have his bags packed today. You know what? I understand he travels lightly, but You know, there was an old gospel singer, George Yance, probably the number one bass singer of all times. He died in 2005. And he sings this one song, and toward the end, he stops and talks. He says, I know I have a lot more days behind me than I've got ahead of me. He says, should Jesus come tonight? I've got my bags packed, and I'm ready to go. And as Christians, especially some of us old people here, we need to have our bags packed and be ready to go. Even if you're young. Yeah, we got a couple of young ones over there. Just to lower our average, we're down to 78 now. So, anyway, that's the average. Sun City, Arizona, the average age is 78. So Pat and I are still down in the lower half. That's good. We've been there 15 years. First few years, we go places, and we go to a concert or something. I said, find somebody younger than us in here, you know. Now we don't say that. And we visited a church a couple Sunday nights, Sun City Church. Both times, somebody came up to us and said, you're too young to be here. So we didn't come. Anyway, Sun City's an interesting place. Good place to die. Sun City has 140 people over 100 years old. That's one of the statistics I learned. And I added to that. Half of those are still driving, so... Okay, we're going to learn. Okay, we've been studying the miracles of Jesus over the past 3 or 4 years, and we're finally come to the last one in the list, and it's the ascension. And somebody said, "Is that a miracle?" All right, you try it. You know, I think the ascension is a pretty big miracle in the Bible, and of course, it's in Acts chapter 1. We're going to read two long passages of Scripture just to give us background, and then we're going to be coming back later on and picking out some verses from those and reading them over again. But Acts, let's do Luke 24:49-53. And Luke wrote both of these. If you put a little thing at the end of his book that Amy's going to read, go ahead. 49-53. Okay, so this is Luke telling the story at the end of his gospel about the ascension. And then Luke goes ahead and writes another book, the book of Acts, and he's going to recap this a little bit and give us some more details. Acts 1, verses 1 through 12.
Okay, Jesus taken up again. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city.
Okay, so here we get a little more details on the ascension. Wouldn't you love to have been there? And how could anybody witness that and say, I don't believe in him? I mean, you know, to be there. So this is the end of his 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. He spent 40 days. And like I said before, what all did he? We only have a few glimpses of things that he did, about 12 appearances during those 40 days. We could write a, one of those guys should have written a whole book or two about, you know, the 40 days, the great 40 days or something, and given us more insight on what all Jesus did. He probably didn't have to sleep. He had his glorified body. He could go from here to there in, you know, just a second. But what all did he do? We know a lot of what he did. But now the ascension is the last thing. How many people were there? Bible doesn't really tell us. Anybody got a guess? Gerard's not here, unfortunately. They're at first, pray for them. They're at First Presbyterian Church this morning. She wanted to go back to hear the music there. I guess their choir is better than our choir. I don't know. But anyway, they'll be here. They'll be here next week. And he'll be teaching. He's, you know, the PhD comes in and I got to sit down. But Gerard's going to be teaching on the Beatitudes. So, you know, check your attitude before you come and make sure you're right to hear his lessons on the Beatitudes. So a little bit of background on the ascension. The Roman number one, the background. Background's a word missing. The background of the ascension. The Old Testament records two ascensions of two men. Anybody know real quickly what those were? Who those were? Who? Enoch and Elijah. Good. Let's read about Enoch. Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24. Okay, so they read that, God took him. Okay, Enoch died, I guess, you know. What's it say in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6?
Hebrews 11, 5 and 6 says, By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death.
Ooh.
And was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
So the writer of Hebrews spoke very kindly of Enoch, and it says, it clarifies there, he didn't die. God took him. Here's a trivia question for you. Who's the oldest man that ever lived? Who's the oldest man that ever lived? But he died before his father. Who's the oldest person? Methuselah. How old was he? 969. But he died before his father. His father's older than him. How did he die before his father? What did we just read? His father was Enoch. His father didn't die. So that's a good question to ask people. You know, they're going to say, well, that's impossible. You know, he had it. Anyway, how did Methuselah die? Bible doesn't tell us, but probably in the flood. He died during, if you add up the years, he died during the year of the flood. So Methuselah maybe wasn't as faithful as his dad was. I don't know. But anyway, the oldest man that ever lived, but he died before his father. All right, let's check the other guy out. 2 Kings 2:11. Somebody got 2 Kings 2:11? Did I miss one? I bet you've got it. Everybody turn around and look at her, embarrass her.
And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven.
Wow, that's the way I want to go. You know, wouldn't that be fun? And who were they? Who's the guy that was with them? Elisha, yeah. Actually, there's more stuff in the Old Testament about Elisha than Elijah. But chariots of fire, they'd make a good song or a movie or something, you know. But Elijah didn't die. He didn't have, you know. And remember, Elijah kept going along with him. He says, no, you better go back. No, I'm going to stick with you, guy. God's going to do something today, and I'm going to be there. And Elijah said, you know, if you see me be taken away, you know, he said, what do you want me to give you? Give me a double portion of what you got. And he said, if you see me going away, you know, God will grant you that. And he did. Remember, Elisha goes back, and he takes the cloak, and he hits the river, and it parts, and he goes through hither and whither or thither and whatever the way the King James said. But to see that, to witness that. So we got two ascensions in the Old Testament. But let's go back and read the first three chapters of Acts one more time. Who's got Acts 1, verse 1 through 3? Okay.
The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Okay, so there we have that infallible truth. That was the name of last week's lesson. Talked about the infallible truths of the resurrection. So Jesus lived on the earth for 40 days. That's the blank. 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension. In letter D, he made 12 distinct appearances. And if you had last week's lesson, it listed those 12. And how many of you, I want to ask the question, you had a homework assignment to look up all those scriptures for those 12. Marilyn did it. Okay. Lauren, could you put the gold star by her name back there? Good. Welcome. So he made 12 appearances. And I didn't realize it was that many until I looked at the list and everything. And it's interesting to see that. Okay, Roman number 2, the teachings of the ascension. First we had the background of the ascension. Now we got the teachings of the ascension. What's the ascension teach us today? Letter A, the instructions of Jesus to wait. How many of you love to wait? You know, don't you just love to wait on something? Whether it's, wait for that red light. There's too many. Why do lights always? We came back from the airport last night, almost midnight. Why aren't all those lights in Woodland Park flashing? You know, there's nobody in the side streets. We stopped for 3 or 4 of the 8. There's 8 lights in Woodland Park. 1995, when we built our cabin, there were 3 lights in Woodland Park. None in Cascade, none at Cave of the Winds, none in Divide. From 31st Street to our house, there were 3 lights. Now there's 12 lights that are always red, right, Marilyn? She's positive, you know. Oh, teacher's patient. Okay, so here we go. Instruction of Jesus to wait. Acts 1, verse 4 through 8.
John baptized with water, and in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time or the days the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness.
Okay, so right at the beginning they told it to wait. All they had to wait was one chapter, because Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes. How many days later and all? Well, it's the day of Pentecost, so it wasn't too much later. Okay, and then Luke 24:49. Okay, so he's telling them to wait. Stay here. Letter number 1, wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Okay, wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Number 2, they needed the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They needed the Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am. Marilyn does too. We all do. And we have the Holy Spirit in us. But a lot of times we forget that or don't take advantage of that. I mean, we've got God living inside of us. And there's only a few people in the world that can say that, we Christians. And we got to realize that and take advantage of that. Talk to him. He wants to hear from you, okay? And you don't have to wait till night or first thing in the morning, anytime, anywhere. When you're waiting for that red light, you can talk to him. So they're waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And they need the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. These disciples and the followers of Christ, they had a big job. They had to start the church, okay? And they couldn't do it on their own. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to get that job done. Letter B, 2 important things about the promise and the provision of power. Number 1, power is for witnessing. powers for witnessing. What's it say? Beginning in Jerusalem, right? Stay here till you get the Holy Spirit, and then start doing your work. Start here in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the othermost parts of the world. Start in Lake George, then go down to Colorado Springs to those heathens down there. And throughout Colorado, the United States, and around the world, he's telling you that you've got the power, and it's for witnessing. Power is for witnessing. The bullet underneath that, we do not receive God's power to keep and enjoy. Oh, I got the Holy Spirit. I can do all kinds of neat things, you know. No, we need to use that Holy Spirit to witness, to share our faith with others. And that's what the early believers did in establishing the church. Number two, power is in a person. Power is in a person, the Holy Spirit. Too often, I think Christians think the Holy Spirit, you know, that power, that force. The Holy Spirit is not a force. You know, the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal. Separate, but yet combined. And if you understand the Trinity, then we need you to teach us some more stuff next week, okay? Trinity is one of the hardest things to grasp. Kind of like Jesus being 100% man and 100% God. That doesn't add up, you know? But the same with the Trinity. We believe in one God, but we believe in the Trinity. Okay, so the power is in the person, the Holy Spirit. The bullet under that, we do not receive God's power in some place or some experience. You may remember when you were saved, when you accepted Christ, where you were. I was on the front porch of our house in Gainesville, Florida, sitting in a lawn chair, one of those web things and all, whatever, and the pastor sitting next to me. That's when I received the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit when I asked Christ to come into my life. I can take you to that place now. It's not, that house doesn't look too nice today, but these oak trees, we planted oak trees in the front two corners of it. We live on a little dirt road. We planted oak trees, 1958. You know how big those oak trees are today? They're oak trees. I mean, these things are huge. First thing we planted was a palm tree, though. We moved to Florida from Philadelphia and had to have a palm tree, so we planted a palm tree, and it's still there. But so I can take you to the place and all, but that's nice. But my salvation and all is not based on that place or an experience. We receive the power from the Holy Spirit, not from some place or experience. Next bullet, he's our guide. Talks about that. The guide, there's going to be a comforter, a guide, somebody be with you, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's our guide and our power as we give ourselves to God, to be God's witnesses. You know, we've got a job to do. We need to witness to the world. We need to share the gospel with our neighbor, our friends, our family, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us with that. Okay, and then letter C, the instructions of the angels. Acts 1:11.
And said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
Okay, so what did the angels tell them to do? Get busy. That's the blank there. Get busy. The instructions of the angel, get busy. You know, don't just stand there with your mouths open. I know it's a great thing you saw. Jesus rose up to heaven. But he says, you got a job to do. You're going to hang around here. You're going to get the Holy Spirit, and you'll be able to do that work. For some, the problem is to wait and not to go out on their own strength. For others, the problem is to get busy. We must understand that we cannot do God's work in our own strength. You may say that, I can't witness, I can't do that. Okay, just share what God means to you, what Christ did in your life. Let the Holy Spirit take over. You know, you don't do the convicting. God's worth in our own strength. It's to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit-filled life does not mean that we should sit around and do nothing. Let God do everything. God will bring the conviction. He will do it through converting. It's by his power. And here's the next blank here. But he does his work through human instrumentality. Instruments. Yeah, there it is. Instrumentalities. Implied in the question of the angels, why are you standing up in the heaven gazing? You're not going to be a blessing to the world by looking up in the sky. Neither shall we be a blessing by living in ivory towers or just meditating on beautiful truths. Even though the next step was to go to Jerusalem to wait, They needed to get to the upper room to begin the period of prayer and preparation for the greatest task any group of people has ever been asked to do. So they needed to get busy. I'm sure they wanted to say, let's just camp out here for a while. Maybe he's going to come back again, you know? But the angels set that clear. Said, hey, he's going to come back, but you guys need to get busy and get ready. All right, number three, the instruction concerning the second coming. Okay, we're looking at these different instructions from the ascension. The first was first instruction was to wait. The second was to get busy. And the third one is concerning the second coming. We just read Acts 1:11, right? Because it said, number one, who is coming? Who is coming? And the answer is, this same Jesus. This same Jesus is coming. Some would say that the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost or the death of a Christian is the fulfillment of this prophecy. You know, this same Jesus is coming. Well, yeah, the Holy Spirit came. Yeah, in the next chapter, that's what they're talking about. No, that's not what they're talking about. It says this same Jesus would come. The same Jesus who took children into his arms and blessed them. Same Jesus who walked on the shores of Galilee. Same Jesus who showed his hands to Thomas after his resurrection. This same Jesus is going to return to the earth. So, you know, some people say, well, it must be the Holy Spirit. That's the second coming. No, he's coming again. Number two, how is he coming? How is he coming? All right. The answer is in like manner, in like manner. Same way he went, he's coming back. He's coming back in the clouds. There's a great song out of a long time ago by the Kingsmen. It's called The Next Cloud Passing By. It says he could be in the next cloud passing by. There's been some pretty clouds these last few days. Beautiful blue skies and then those big puffy white clouds. I think he's going to come on a puffy white cloud. I don't think he's going to come on one of those storm clouds. But that doesn't say it in the Bible, so I don't know. Could be there's a special cloud that's going to bring him back, and it could be today. So in like manner, the next bullet, he left from the Mount of Olives. He left from the Mount of Olives, and he will return to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah, who was complaining about Zechariah? Laura?
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be clean in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall be moved toward the north, and half of it toward the south.
Okay, some interesting prophecy there about end times and all, when Christ comes again on the Mount of Olives. Okay, next bullet, he left in a cloud, and he will return in a cloud. Revelation 1:7. All right, it says all eyes will see him. When we see a cloud up there, everybody can't see that cloud, right? Even if you're over in Kansas, you can't see the cloud over Lake George, Colorado, right? You know, that's going to be another miracle. He's going to come in a cloud, and everybody's going to see him, even the ones that are sound asleep on the other side of the earth. Hey, we could be those people. I don't know. But we're going to see that cloud. We're going to see him when he returns again. So how is he coming? He's coming in like manner. He's going to be at the Mount of Olives in a cloud. Last one there, he left in a real body, and he's going to return in a real body. It's not going to be just a spirit. You know, he's going to have a real body, this glorified body. All right, flip your page over there, Roman number 3. Roman number 1 was the background of the ascension. Number 2, the teachings of the ascension. What can we learn from it? Number 3 is the purpose of the ascension. Why did Jesus have to ascend? Okay, letter A, to signal the completed work of Christ upon the earth. To signal the completed work of Christ on earth. Number 1, it is finished. Oh, that's a great song written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. Another good gospel. Gospel songs are in all these lessons, right, Marilyn? You know, there's some great songs out there. But it is finished. Maybe you've heard that song. one of the more powerful ones they wrote back in the 80s or 90s or whatever. I've sung it in a big choir, and it's dramatic to sing "It Is Finished." But why did he say that? "It's finished." Okay, I quit? No. You know, he said that on the cross, one of the seven sayings on the cross, "It is finished." That means my life's done, that's it, I'm going home? No, he meant his work on earth. It was completed. It's finished, it's completed. It meant the work of redemption had been completed. The work of redemption had been completed, and forgiveness for sins had been provided. Work of redemption has been completed, forgiveness of sin had been provided. Romans 5:10. Okay, so because of that death, burial, and resurrection, we can be reconciled to God. That's a word you don't hear a lot of times. When was the last time you were in City Market and somebody said, "Hey, are you reconciled?" You know, but to be reconciled, made right in the proper relationship and all with God. So because of the completed work, the finished work, we can be reconciled to God. Letter B, to commence or begin, to commence his continued work on the earth through his followers. Completed work, to start the completed work on the earth through his followers. All right, number one, a plan. You know, Jesus didn't leave them helpless without any instructions. He gave them a plan. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission. And that's an order, not just to his disciples a few thousand years ago, it's an order to us today. Go ye. We need to go and preach the gospel, baptize, and to teach. And so Jesus had a plan. That was his plan that he gave before them. Also in Acts 1:8, which we've read before, but let's read it again. Acts 1:8.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria.
All right, so he kind of spelled it out for them what their job was. He said, don't worry, you're going to receive power. Just wait one chapter. You know, you're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to go. And you're going to start here and fan out and start spreading the gospel. That's your job. So that was his plan. And number two, he left a power. Luke 24:49, one more time. You read it before. I forget who had that one. Luke 24:49. You never know when you're going to have to be called upon to read again. Who's got 24:49?
24:49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven.
Gonna fill you with power. Okay, Matthew 28, 18, right before the Great Commission. What's that say?
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth."
All right. All authority or all power has been given to him. And then the next verse says, "Go ye." All right, there's the power directly from God to go. And then Acts 1:8, we've read that a bunch of times. But let's read it again. Anybody has still have that, Acts 1:8?
Acts 1:8?
Yep. Okay. Okay, so there's three different references saying you're going to have power. He's telling that to his disciples, but he's speaking that to us today, years later. We're going to receive power. So to start the work, there's a plan, there's power, and number three is a promise. God gives us a promise. John 14, verses 2 and 3.
John 14, 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Bunch of promises. He's going. He's preparing a place for you. And if he goes, he's going to come back. He's promising that. So that's the promises right there. And then one more time, Acts 1:11.
Two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven."
All right, so there's the promise. He's coming again. Letter C. This is all the purpose of the ascension. Letter C, to begin his work in heaven on our behalf. Number one, where? Where did Jesus go when he left the earth? Mark 16:19. Where did he go? Mark 16:19. So he's just sitting down, all right? He's busy, too. He's preparing that place. Marilyn's going to have a nice spot up there. I can just picture it. It's going to be red like your car. But, you know, he's preparing. He sat down at the right hand of God. How, you know, he's God. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. God the Son is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. But they're all God. Once again, if you understand the Trinity, you can teach next week. Gerard will be glad to let you teach. Number two, what kind of position does he have there? Ephesians 1:19-23.
In his incomparably great power for us who believe, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Okay, he's busy. He's not just sitting down there. Okay, he's preparing a place for you. He's interceding for you. And here we learn that Jesus holds everything together. So he's got a big job to do. And that's what he's doing right now. So what's he doing right now? John 14:2. We just read that? Yeah, we just read that right above. He's preparing a home in heaven for us. Preparing a home in heaven for us. And then Colossians 1:16-17. He's holding it together. I hope he doesn't fall asleep one day. We're going to be in chaos if he stops holding stuff together. But he's holding all things together. So that's a blank there, holding all creation together. Hebrews 5:23, what else is he doing? Hebrews 7:25. Okay, he's interceding for us, he's there, so he's preparing a place, he's holding things together, and he's praying for us. Letter D, under the purpose of the ascension, in order that we might learn to live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith and not by sight. How many have been to the Grand Canyon? Okay, how many have not been to the Grand Canyon? Of those who have not been to the Grand Canyon, how many believe that there is a Grand Canyon? You've seen pictures and all, right? But when you go to the Grand Canyon in person and you stand there and look, it's big, it's deep, and it's wide, and it's remarkable, right? So it's a difference of, you know, believing by faith. Yeah, there's a Grand Canyon. And believing by sight, sure is. You know, my son, he's 47 now. When he was about... He would have been about 3 years old. We took a trip. We lived here in the 70s. And my parents drove from Florida to here. Never been out west. And we took two cars and a little pop-up tent trailer and went all the way to the west coast and back. And we get to the edge of the Grand Canyon. And my wise son said, he turned and looked at my father. He said, Grandpa, you fall down there, you get a big boo-boo. And how many times has that been quoted, right, Amy? You know, my father, until the day he died, he would love to tell that story. And that's true. And you get a big boo-boo, we fall down there.
Oh. It's so different from seeing pictures.
Yep.
It's just like God is real. And you don't get that looking at a picture. I didn't realize it would affect me like it did.
Yeah.
But I was just
calm. Yep. You know, southern Utah is a gorgeous place. There's so many of the national parks there, and everyone's different. Zion and Canyonlands, Capitol Reef and Arches, and then there's Bryce. And we've been to all the rest of them. And Bryce was one of the last ones we went to. And it's my favorite now. Get up there. We stopped at the first overlook. And I took those 27 steps to the railing. And I was just in awe of, why did God do that? All these spires, orange and white and different things there, all sticking up. And I'd love to go there in the snow and see all that. You know, when God created, he could have made the world a whole lot simpler. He could have just kept it flat, get rid of these mountains and all, right? But he wanted us to have some adventure and excitement in our life. And he created an awesome, awesome world. Okay, well, I'm supposed to read this. The Christian faith. So, okay, that letter D, that we might learn to live by faith and not by sight. Christian faith is one of spiritual substance and content. If the Lord were here in the world, there would be a perpetual embargo and moratorium on faith. That's an interesting statement. People would struggle from one side of the planet to the other to go get him, to go see him. We would want to just look at him, feast our eyes upon him, bring him our sick, lay before him our dead. It would be almost unimaginable. But the Christian faith is in its substance, always invisible and unseen. We do not look upon the things that are seen, but we look upon things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, the flower that fades and the grass that withers. The very heavens and earth shall pass away. The things that are not seen are eternal. So by living by faith, we have to have faith. The book of Hebrews starts out with some great words in that thing. All right, let's wrap this up. Letter E under the purpose. In order that the Holy Spirit might begin his work, and to end the limitation of God being confined to a single body on earth. John 16:7.
But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
Okay, so Jesus was limited, you know, and coming of the Holy Spirit ends the limitation of God being confined. Jesus was 100% human, 100% divine, 100% human. If he was here, he couldn't be there. If he was speaking to our church this morning, he couldn't be speaking to a church down in Colorado Springs or in New Delhi, India, or whatever, Tasmania. He was limited, okay? But when he ascended and the Holy Spirit descended, that took away that limitation. The Holy Spirit lives in the lives of each Christian, each believer. Number one, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit could not begin his work, his new work, until he had left the earth. So we had to get Jesus out of the way before the Holy Spirit could come. All right? That's probably sacrilegious to say that, right, Amy? But anyway, but Jesus had to ascend and tend to his new jobs and let the Holy Spirit take over. Number two, the coming of the Holy Spirit would also end the limitation. We just said that. The limitation that Jesus took upon himself coming to the earth in the form of a man. He was completely limited, okay, when he was here as a man. And the last thing, number three, in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, he is here with us now. Okay, so that's the last of the miracles that Jesus did on earth was the ascension. And the next miracle he's going to do is coming again, the second coming. So we need to look forward to that. Anybody have anything? Amy, you read that whole book. Don't you want to share some stuff with me? No. If you want to know some more in-depth stuff, you know, just get her aside in the corner and she'll tell you about this book. But what's it called? It was the Holy Spirit. What it was? I like the title. Gerard would like it. He likes books. Humanity in the Presence of God. So anyway, Gerard and Amy get along real good. They're both book lovers and all. And she's been to his house and saw all his books. Now he's got to go to Texas and see all her. Anyway, anybody else? All right, thanks. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you again, Lord, for the ascension. God, that we weren't there to witness it, but Father, we're going to be here when you come again. And Lord, we are looking forward to your second coming to earth. Father, we thank you for the miracles you performed during your earthly ministry. And Father, we believe by faith and not by sight. We weren't there. And like when you told Thomas, you know, you've seen and you believe, but blessed are those that believe without seeing. And that's us. Lord, we've never seen you face to face. We've never touched your hands. But Lord, we know and we believe in you, and we have your Holy Spirit living in us. We thank you for that. Thank you for our time together. Open our minds again, Lord, as we listen to the sermon this morning and worship you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.